Let's just turn to worship together. I'm going to read some words from Psalm 27 as we come to worship him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when the enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. But one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face I will seek, O Lord. To turn back with me to Romans in chapter 8 as we come to God's word. Let's just bow our heads together in prayer. Oh Lord God, we thank you that we can come to your word. And Father, we thank you when we come to your word that we always find you speaking. Father, peace and assurance and love and grace to us. And Father, even in the hard passages, Father, you still speak in love. Father, so come, we pray this morning. And Father, speak to us from your word. Oh, Father, open your word to us. Father, let us see wonderful things out of your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Belfast, when I was growing up, I had a friend who, his name was Arthur. I was trying to remember his surname, actually. I just couldn't remember his surname. But we went down to the centre of Belfast, and he said, I've got something to show you. And so he took me around the city hall and to the far side of the city hall. There was nothing much there but bus stops, so I didn't really know quite why we were going there. And we walked up into this big, large stone plinth with a statue on top of the plinth. And he said, have a look at this. And he went down the list of names which were on this statue, and he got down to a name, and he pointed to it and said, that was my great-grandfather. And the statue that was there was the Titanic Memorial, and that was his great-grandfather on it. He was an engineer in Holland and Wolff. He was on that maiden voyage as they went across to America. And he was one of the ones who was advising the captain. Of course, the captain was told that there were reports of ice in the region, but they were reasonably far south, and so they were in a ship which was deemed to be unsinkable. And so the captain said, well, full steam ahead, don't slow down, keep on going. Set out a watch. Well, of course, we know what happened. And this engineer, along with many, many others in the ship, went down as that ship went down. You know, the tragic thing, I think, today as we look out on our society is we're in a society where people act like that. They kind of put their lives into full steam ahead, don't worry about what's ahead, don't be concerned about what's ahead, and they go through life brashly confident. And then trouble strikes. And there's a huge shock, and we just collapse. And you see, they collapse because really their confidence is not based in anything. There is no basis in that confidence at all. But you see, we as believers, we ought to be different. We're those who ought to have confidence, aren't we? Real confidence in God. We're those who genuinely can put our lives into full steam ahead. Do you see what God has already taught us in Romans chapter 8? I know we've been in it for a while now. And so, you know, there was one church I went to once and all the church Bibles opened in one passage because they've been in that passage for so many years. And we haven't been there for that long. I hope it's not the case. But they're glorious words here. We've seen wonderful, wonderful things. And you see, what do we see about what God says of himself to us? He says, in Christ, all I am in Christ. That's the series. In Christ, you are not condemned. There will never be any condemnation made against you, which is correct. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I am free. I can say no to all these things which destroyed my life in the past in Christ, who gives me strength in everything. I can say no to them. I'm being transformed. Isn't that wonderful? That today I don't need to be the same as I was yesterday, and I shouldn't be the same today as I was a year ago, and God's transforming my life in Him. I'm alive in Him. I know His resurrection power. I know that working in my life. I feel His, I know His Spirit speaking to me. I'm alive in Him. I can be what I ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need not fear. And we've seen all those through the first 18 verses of Romans chapter 8. And then we get into some more difficult verses where we see that there's difficulty and there's suffering. And so what can we say to all that? And he says, but you're not overcome. You see, your sufferings work glory in your life. You can be full of hope because He's promised that He will fulfill all the work that He's already begun in us. And I'm not alone in my sufferings because I have His Spirit who speaks to the Lord for me. And even when I groan and I just don't know what to say, yet the feelings of our hearts, they are presented perfectly before the Lord. And He understands exactly our position. And in all things, as we've seen last week, in all these things, I am in His purpose. So even when terrible difficulties strike our lives, even when poor Robin got the news this week of that long operation he's yet to have, we know that God is in it, that He is working His purposes, that He will fulfill His glory. And you know, God has an agenda for your life this morning. Each one of you who know Him as your Savior. He's an agenda for your life to perfect His work in you so that one day you will be presented glorious before His throne. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And all things that come to our lives, even the results of sin in our lives, or terrible sin in other lives, even the evil things that impact us, because He is sovereign God, He will overrule to yet use them for His glory. You know, so as believers this morning, we ought to be full steam ahead for God, because we can have confidence. We can have confidence in Him. Yet I guess there's many of you, when we hear these things, we look upon our own lives, don't we? And we think, I'm not like that. Oh, I wish I was like that, but I'm not like that. And I look at my attitudes, what's there? And so often I'm crawling through on all engines slow because I'm afraid of what's going to come, because I fear what's ahead, because I'm terrified of trouble, because I'm defeated by temptation, because I'm destroyed by doubts. You know, God doesn't say these things this morning so that you can be condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. He tells us these things because He wants us to learn about Him, because He wants us to learn to trust in Him, to rely in Him, to have confidence in Him. And so He asks us a question this morning. Can you see what the question is there in verse 31? He asks us a question this morning. This is a wonderful question. He says, what shall we say in response to this? This is the question for us this morning. Having heard all those things we've heard through Romans chapter 8 so far, all the way through our series, having got those in our minds, and I hope they're on your hearts and in your heads, and you're speaking them to yourselves every day, I'm not condemned, that I am free, I don't need to go down this path of sin, that I'm being transformed. Lord, I want to see that transformation in my life, that the troubles come, and yet, Father, you're going to use them for your purpose. I hope you're saying those things to yourself every day. But so what do we say in response to those truths? How should our hearts respond? How should our lives respond to them? What today are we holding on to? There's a student who came to me once, and he was... I should explain to those of you who don't know, I was a university lecturer at one time. I know there's new folk come into the fellowship, and so they probably don't know, but I was a university lecturer for 20 years. And I had a student who came in to see me once, and he was distraught. He was absolutely distraught. He was about to face his finals. There'll be some people who have been in that position, about to face his finals. And he was just terrible. He said, I'm going to do so badly. I'm going to fail my degree. I've had 4 years, and they've been wasted because I'm just going to do so badly. I know it in these exams. Well, actually, he hadn't thought very carefully. Because, you see, he'd already done his project, which was 30% of the final year mark. He'd already done his first semester exams, which is another 40% of his final year mark. He'd already done his year two exams. He actually only had three exams to go. So I sat down with him and I showed him his results so far. All of his exams and his project had been in the 70s, 80s or 90s, this guy who was worried about the future. And I told him, you've already got a first. I said, even if you do badly in these exams, unless you were to fail them or not turn up, you have got your firsts. What are you worried about? I said, look, go out there and do the exams. I went down to the first of the exams, director of studies, had to do these things. And he was standing there. I looked across to see how he was. You know something? He was very calm, with a big smile on his face. He was going to walk into those exams. Well, he did brilliantly in those exams. Because, you see, he worked out the reality of what was true in his life. The things which he should have known but didn't know. And it made a change. It made a difference. So what shall we say in response to all these things that we have seen? Will it make a difference in your life? Have we seen these truths? That we're never condemned, that we're not overcome, that we're being transformed, that our troubles will always be turned for his use into his glory. You know, it's got to make a difference to the way we walk, hasn't it? It's got to make a difference. You know, I'd love that everyone in this fellowship just really grasped hold of these truths and just lived by them every day. Every man and woman in this fellowship praising God for his amazing salvation. Following him in confidence in spite of what might come. And even when trouble and tragic circumstances do come, walking boldly because we know we have a God who will perfect his work in us. What a fellowship we'd be. What a witness we would be. What glory we would bring to God in this place. So let's just, and there's three great truths I want to grasp this morning from these two little verses that we've got before us, verse 31, verse 32, to really encourage you to go out and just to hang on to this week as God brings difficult things for you. And I know I've got a list of about five or six people who had really difficult things happen over this week, and there'll probably be more next week with difficult things happen next week. Look, just grasp onto these truths and go boldly in the Lord. So the first thing I want you to see is that God is for you. God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? It really makes a difference when someone is for you, doesn't it? I went to school. I was in two secondary schools. I had to change secondary school after the first year of the secondary school education. Went into a new school, much, much bigger. Didn't know anybody there. And the first day I got there, I made a friend. His name was Paul Montgomery. I hope sometime maybe he'll listen to these things. I don't know. I don't know he knows the Lord at all, but I hope he does, and he does listen to this. But his name was Monty for short, and he came up to me, started chatting to me. We became friendly. I didn't think anything of it at all. But then I discovered a bit later that everybody was being rather nice to me. And actually, I was always being brought in and included on everything that anybody did. This was a kind of new experience for me, you see, because I was a bit of a kind of timid child when I was in primary school, and I really hadn't grown up terribly confident. And it was a new experience, just being included in absolutely everything. And I discovered after a little while that Monty was considered to be the coolest guy in the year. And he decided to be my friend. And so anything that was happening, he would just include me in, he would get me along. And if people were going to be horrible to me, he'd tell them to wise up and to be nice to me. And it made a difference because he was for me. Because he was for me. And so I didn't ever need to fear about being worried or left out. And Paul says to us here, look back at your life. Look at all those things that God has already done in your life. What do you conclude about God? Is God for you? Yes, he is. He's for you. And he never condemns, and he gives you freedom, and he enables you to be all you should be, and he removes your fear, and he's with me in your suffering, and he works glory even through those difficult times. And we look back at that wonderful verse that I love, and we walk in triumph in Christ. We see the triumph of his work, and God is for you. And everyone here, I could get up to stand up front, and no matter what your circumstances, if you were to think through what God has done in your life, you'd have to say, God is for you. God is for you. And you know, it's actually this word, we don't really get the extent of what it means that God is for you, because you know, it's great that my friend was for me. But it's not for me like I'm for Ireland and the Six Nations. I hope they do well next year. you can be for, you can support, can't you? But you see, this word for, in the Greek, it's just wonderful because it literally can be translated over or above. When God is for you, it means that he is over all that you do. When you go out and into your day tomorrow, he walks with you every day and guides your footsteps and lights your pathway before you. When you are going through your life and making those important decisions, that he leads me. And he continues to lead me, even though whether I'm by the nice still waters and green pastures, or I'm going through those valleys of trouble and darkness. And he holds me within the troubles, in the storms. He is there with me, in the boat with me, as we're thinking of Matthew so recently. And he's constantly working, fulfilling all his sovereign purposes towards me for his glory. Do you know that God is for you? I don't mean just intellectually, in your head, but do you know experientially in your heart? Do you know it? Do you know it as you go through each day? Last summer I was in France, and high ropes course. I use this illustration a lot, don't we? High ropes course. And anyway, one of the party was quite nervous, and so I took him around some of the early parts of the course. He went along the right white run, and as we were going along, I was going along with him on the white run. I would say, okay, put your feet here, and you know, clip on here, and actually, this is a little bit difficult, but if you just do this, you'll get across. And just gradually encouraging him and help him, and sometimes saying, let me show you. Sometimes saying, let me help. Sometimes saying, look, there's an easier route down here. You can go that way if you wish to. And just encouraging, you can do it. Go on. You'll be able to get across here. And sometimes giving a hand across the gaps. Then we went on to the green run. Next one up. And the green one was more difficult, higher. And bigger steps, wider gaps. And some real challenges there, especially if you're a bit short, you understand. And so I still was with him and encouraging him. You can do it. And taking him round this course, and we found an easier route, so we went round there, but there was one very long wire, and you clip yourself on the wire, and you're basically hanging from this wire, and he had to pull himself all the way across this long wire, slightly uphill, so you have to really pull yourself along it. And so it was nothing that he hadn't done before, just slightly taller, slightly longer. It really wasn't anything he hadn't done before. But in the middle of that wire, he stopped. You see, he looked around. He saw where he was. He looked beyond. He saw the distance he yet to go. And I was there, I was encouraging him, and I was still with him. I'd gone on ahead, but nonetheless, I was still with him. And you can do it. It's no different than you got before. Just really encouraging him along. But you see, he didn't believe that he could do it. And he didn't trust the one who was with him. And so he just gave up. You know, we can be so like that in life, can't we? And Paul says here, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And in life, we look around and go, well, Paul, I can give you a big list of all the things that are against me. Actually, Paul, I've got loads of things against me. I know there are people here this morning whose husbands don't know the Lord, and every day in your home, it's a struggle to live for him. There are people here whose jobs are under threat, and every day there's that cloud of unemployment potentially coming. There are folk in here who face terrible illnesses and operations to come. And Paul says here, who can be against us? And we kind of go, well, here's the list, God. These are these people who are against us. These are these things who are against us. But you see, what God is saying is not that we don't have anything against us. But you see, when we've got God for us, then we don't have to fear. You see, it's rather like, do you remember those old-fashioned scales? I don't know if you've still got them at home, which have kind of got pans either side to go up and down. We had some like that, big weights. And you know, the kids used to love putting kind of stuff on this side, then getting the biggest weight and dropping it from a height on this side. And of course, the stuff would go flying across the room. And you see, this is what it is with God. If we understand that you've got our scales of our life, and we put on this side all the things which trouble us. And then God comes along. And it's like a huge anvil dropping on the other side of these scales. And compared to God, what happens in our troubles? They can't stand against him, can they? They're scattered because, you see, our God is so great. And he's for us. He's over all that we do. And nothing can possibly stand before our God. And oh, how we need to know that in our lives. Every day we get up in the morning, we face the same problems that we had yesterday. And we struggle, but we need to know that we have a God who is for us, who is mighty to save. You know, in the foolishness of God, we're told, is wiser than man's wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Oh, if only we had a big God in our eyesight, we could see him as he is. And this is the reality this morning. God is for you, and there is nothing, nothing, nothing at all that can ever stand against his purposes for you. And maybe this morning, you're stranded on those high ropes of life. Maybe you're just struggling to go on. And it seems that so much is against us. Here's my list, God, of all these things that are against me. Feels like you can't stand this morning. Oh, God knows that, and he wants you to grasp this truth. That's why it's written for you. It's not written to condemn you. It's written so that you might grasp hold of this. Hold it tight in your life. Live by it. If God is for me, who can be against me? God is for you. Second thing, God loves you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. You know, God is heaping wonderful truth upon wonderful truth this morning. He's not only for me, but he loves me. Yeah, I think we can be so complacent about God's love, can't we? You know, when trouble comes, we can be tempted to think, well, does God really love me? Or maybe we can express it in a slightly different way. Maybe we express it somewhat like this. How can God possibly love me and yet allow this thing to happen to me? How can that be the case? You know what God's response is? It's right here. He says, look at the cross. Look at the cross. See how much I love you. You know, this is an unusual passage because it doesn't say see Jesus, does it? It doesn't say, see Jesus. It says, he who did not spare up his own son. It says, look at God the Father. Look at me. He points to himself with these amazing words. He says, he who did not spare his own son. Oh, the terrible cost of God the Father giving up his son to die for you and me. You know, I love my kids desperately. God does that, doesn't he, when you're parents? There's such a deep love in your hearts for them. You know, I love you here this morning. God's put a love in my heart for you. I can honestly say that. But if it was between you and my kids, you haven't a chance. Not a chance. Oh, but you see, God loves us. And he loves us so much that he gives his own son for you and me. And you know, this is far more than me giving up one of my children for you. See, Jesus, yes, he's God's son, but he's part of the Godhead, one with God from eternity past to eternity future. One in heart, their longings are one, the Father, Son, and Spirit. One in mind, their plans are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One in desire, one in will, one in power. They work together in creation. We see God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the first chapter of Genesis working together for creation. In every part of Scripture, we see God working as one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in action. Jesus cries out, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. We are one. And when Jesus cries out to the Father, Father, glorify your name, the Father says, my name I will glorify. And when Jesus goes and obeys his Father in those waters of baptism, the Father comes down and says, this is my Son, and I'm pleased with him. Oh, the oneness there that we just can't understand. There's no atomic bond is tighter than the oneness with God. There's no human love that's as deep as the love of God the Father for God the Son and God the Spirit. And yet it says here, God did not spare his own son. And there's a word missing from the NIV. It should be there. But freely, freely gave him up for us all. You know, there's a terrible moment on that cross. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, it's the only time in Scripture when Jesus cries to the Father and there's no reply. Terrible silence. Terrible silence. Because he didn't spare his son. Because he loves you so much. Oh, the agony of the Father to give up his son for you. And we say, does God love me? Oh, yes, God loves me. Oh, yes, God loves me. He freely gave him up for us all. You know, amazing action there. That word gave him up is an incredible word. It's a Greek word. It's paradidomi. You won't remember that when you go home. Paradidomi. But it means this. It means to deliver up. He delivered him up. You know, that word's only used 5 times in Scripture. First time it's used is when Judas delivered Jesus up to the chief priests. Second time it's used is when the elders delivered Jesus to Pilate. Third time it's used is when the people delivered Jesus to be crucified. In Acts chapter 3 and 13, it says they delivered him to be crucified as they cried, crucify him, crucify him. Fourth time it's used is when Pilate delivered Jesus up to die. These people hating the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting rid of him, and so they delivered him up. Fifth time it's used. The Father delivered up his son, not out of hatred, but out of love for you. That's the love of God for you this morning. How deep is God's love for me? Or is that deep? And times might be terrible, and circumstances might be atrocious, and difficulties might be enormous, but look at the cross. See God the Father's love for you. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great that pain of searing loss. The Father, he turns his face away. And wounds mar the chosen son, bring people like you and me to glory. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought him peace, brought us peace, was laid upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We say, Lord, are you for me? Lord, do you really love me? Oh, yes, he loves you. And that will never, ever change. He's for you every moment, every situation, every heartache, every difficulty. He loves you passionately and deeply and eternally and so wide and high and long. And oh, he loves you. He loves you. Never doubt his love. Never doubt his love. Even when the waves are high around you, he loves you. He's for you. He loves you. And he's full of grace towards you. He's full of grace towards you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up freely for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give you all things? You know, I really struggle with this verse. Doesn't that mean that he should give me all the good things that I want? Oh, he's going to be graceful to me, so he's going to give me all the good things that I want. And then I look at myself and I think, well, is there something wrong with me? Because all I've got is trouble and difficulty. And no, I don't mean that. Don't ever go down or anything like that. God's so gracious. But, you know, we can do that, can't we? We can think like that. Well, this isn't for me because I'm not seeing all those good things in my life. You know, it's so important that we get this verse right because there's a glorious promise in here for us. You know, God's not promising good things. He's not promising great incomes. He's not promising fantastic houses or wonderful cars. It's all about the gift of his son. How did God give his son to us? Oh, with terrible cost. With terrible cost. But what amazing salvation. What amazing salvation. And you know, we as Christians can have job difficulties. We can face operations. We can have bereavements. And we can have illnesses. There can be terrible, terrible times. And as Christians, we can have those wonderful times with friends and family. We can come together and we can rejoice and worship and we can be so lifted up with God. We can read his word and he speaks to us and we're just amazed by what he says. We can know the security of employment. We can have all those good things. Fantastic times, brilliant times. But this one thing is always true. In his sovereign power, he graciously works all things for our good. All things for our good. That's what we see in verse 28, isn't it? And that's the sense here. You see, the Greek word here is this word soon, which means together in the same manner, or just as Jesus was given away, just as God's heart was broken in the Lord Jesus Christ being given for us. Just as that act was terrible and horrendous and horrible and yet worked out wonderful salvation for me, so he graciously gives us all things. Yes, the good things in your life. Yes, the difficult things in your life. That he might complete his work in us. You know, when I was young, my parents used to take me on walks. I don't know if you do this to your kids. You know, they know the result if you do. You drag them along, don't you? They complain and whinge and moan. And we walked, I remember one walk in particular, we walked for miles, it seemed. We parked the car on right on the top of a cliff, and we had to walk all the way down this path, right the way down this cliff to near to the sea. And then the path just stretched out in front of us, and we did what all good kids do. We whinged incredibly. And actually, we were walking for such a long time, and our legs were aching, and we were so sore, and we were really fed up with that. And there was rebellion in the ranks. You know, my sister literally said, "I'm going back," and turned round. Well, she was dutifully grabbed and pushed the right way. But you know, there was rebellion in the ranks, and we just hated every moment. How can you do this to us, parents? And then we turned round a corner, and there in front of us, we saw what he bought us for. There was the Giant's Causeway. I don't know if you've ever seen a Giant's Causeway. Incredible formations formed by lava drying, very, very rapidly, these hexagonal rocks, nothing like it almost anywhere else in the world. And we got there and we were just fascinated by these things, and we ran up and down these formations of rocks, and we played around in them, and my dad was telling us the stories that about their formation and some of the folklore behind them, and we're listening to him as we sat around him, and we talked about that time for years. Wonderful, wonderful time. Oh, but we didn't see when we were walking down there our dad's grace towards us. You know, you might be in difficult times this morning. And you might say, well, where is God's love? Is God really for me? But we need to know this, that when illness strikes, his grace is still towards you. When bereavement hits, his grace is still towards you. When unemployment looms, his grace is still towards you. In your darkest hour, his grace is still towards you. And he is perfecting his work in you. Oh, it says, what shall we say in response to all of this? What must I go out today from this place holding on to? What is it that changes the whole attitude of my life as I seek to walk in Christ? What is it that's so fundamental I must get from this today? Oh, it's these three things: that God is for you, that he loves you, and he always acts in grace towards you. You know, if we really knew that in our lives, if in every moment of the day as we get up and we're facing that difficulty and we just feel we can't go on, if we understood it and just said to ourselves, no, God is for me. God loves me. His grace is in this. Oh, then we can put the engines full steam ahead in our lives, can't we? Then we can truly go out in confidence. Not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in God, our Savior. Oh, it needs working out, doesn't it, in our lives? I can't work this out for you. You have to apply it in your circumstances. Today, as you maybe go home to face the trials of home. Tomorrow, as you're going to work to face the difficulties of work. Each day, as we walk with God. What shall I say over my doubts and over my fears and over my worries and over my sorrows? I will say this: God is for me. God loves me. And God is gracious to me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. How deep the Father's love for us. Oh, Father, and we see the extent of your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, when we understand that that love is the same yesterday and today and forever, when we understand that we walk in that love in every situation, Father, when we understand that you are for us, oh, Father, help us to know this in our lives and to apply it. Father, help us to walk more boldly with you because of it. Father, help us to live this. And Father, there are some of us who really need to work this out in so many areas of our lives. But Father, we thank you that you do not give us these things to rebuke us, but you give us them to strengthen us and to enable us to walk for you. And Father, so enable us in this week, we pray, and in the months and years ahead, to always say in all circumstances, God is for me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and will present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.